Adani's $22 billion Carmichael coal mine in central Queensland aims to be the largest of its kind in the world. An economic windfall for a region pretty hard hit by the mining downturn. But the collapse in the coal price put the project on hold, with many economists arguing it simply wasn't financially viable. Now the project appears to be back on track, with hopes of securing a $1 billion federal loan to build a rail line to transport coal from the mine to the Abbot Point terminal. Now today the Queensland government announced it had secured agreement from Adani to employ local workers and not have, as you heard, 457 workers there, and also that its headquarters be in Townsville. But the Queensland opposition leader, Tim Nicholls, has his doubts.
The Premier has said she takes Mr. Adani at his word, and that's fine. But I would have thought it would have been better to assure Queenslanders that we had some written commitments that jobs from this project will go to Queenslanders.
Dr. Frank Gelber is the Chief Economist with BIS Shrapnel and joins us now. Thank you for your time. This project represents a significant investment in the regional economy. How significant would the benefits be for Queensland?
Well, enormous if it went ahead, because it's an enormous project. The Galilee Basin's probably the same size as the Bowen Basin, although it's steaming, not coking coal. The only problem is we've got no infrastructure going there, and the numbers don't work or don't even get close to working at current coal prices.
The Premier, Anastasia Palaszczuk, says she has a personal guarantee from Mr. Adani that he won't bring in foreign workers. But is that enforceable? She says that, you know, they have an agreement which is based on words. You know, we heard there that the opposition leader in Queensland has his doubts.
Well, I can't tell you whether it was certainly not enforceable, but whether they'll do it or not. The point is, if the project doesn't go ahead, it won't make any difference at all.
And you don't think it will go ahead?
No. I mean, with coal prices, it'd have to be sustainable at around about double current, already higher coal prices for the project to proceed. It's pie in the sky.
Adani has said publicly the project will generate 10,000 jobs, but their own economics expert has given court testimony that it would yield, I think, 1,464 net jobs a year. How many jobs do you expect it would create? I mean, where's the truth in all of that?
Well, if it doesn't proceed, it's not going to create many jobs at all. Of course, it will employ a lot of people if it proceeds. But there's a lot of coal already with infrastructure in place in other parts of Australia, which is more economic, i.e. lower cost of comparable quality, which will go before the Adani mine goes. And at this stage, they're just putting approvals in place just in case the coal price rises to a level at which it's financially feasible and at which they can actually fund the project.
So they can scale it if the time happens.
Well, they can do it if the time happens. Otherwise, it'd take far long to do. Mm. But if we never get to those coal prices, we'll never do the project.
The project was essentially placed on hold, as many people would know, because of the collapse in the coal price. Now, mm-hmm. coal prices haven't recovered to the extent that they would have hoped for since then. Why is it suddenly considered viable now, or they're arguing that it is at least? I know you're saying that's doubtful, but they're telling us it is.
Well, it's not, and it's certainly not at current prices. There's no way any sensible financier would put any money into the project at current prices. So we'd need to see a whole different picture in relation to coal prices into the future and demand. See, we've got plenty of supply. Actually, we've been closing down coal mines, not opening up new ones, let alone opening up huge new areas, which require about 300 kilometres of rail line to be built before we can access the coal and get it to the port. So it's a huge project with an enormous capital cost. And so I would wonder, you know, why a government would put money into it. Now, the Queensland government's not putting money into it, as far as I understand. They've volunteered the Northern Australia Fund to do that. But why the federal government or the Northern Australia Fund would do that, I wouldn't know, in a project with such difficulty in getting to the financially feasible phase, even with the infrastructure in place. So it'd be nice for the jobs, but the reality is we've got plenty of coal.
Well, you'd expect that the government would be getting similar advice to the advice you're giving very publicly on this program, that the economics don't stack up. So mm-hmm. why are they going through this public dance of telling voters, people, the electorate across the country that it is economically viable and that it will happen, particularly in Queensland?
Well, Adani's interest is to say that it's economically viable and keep the project alive. Otherwise, they might as well, you know, turn up stumps and go away. The Queensland government would love it to happen, but I can't see any Queensland government money in there, so it talk is cheap. And the federal government, well, they're the ones that would have to put up the money, and I'm wondering whether it would be sensible for them to do so. I don't think they're instigating this conversation.
If you're just tuning into RN Drive, my guest is Dr. Frank Gelber. He's a chief economist with BIS Shrapnel. So we know that Adani is hoping to secure a $1 billion loan from the Northern Australia Infrastructure Fund. But there are suggestions now it won't actually meet the criteria because funding is not essential. Is the project back on hold? If, I mean, you're saying it won't happen anyway, but that actually jeopardises it, doesn't it, further?
See, it's really hard for you to work out how to make to say the project's really going to go because the numbers don't work now at current prices anyway, even with the cheap funding source, and actually a funding source that they can't really get from anywhere else. It would be a whole different world before that project goes ahead.
So you think that politicians are ultimately not being honest about what they would know, which is what you know?
Well, if I were a politician in Queensland, I would be very keen to get new jobs on the ground, particularly if it didn't cost me anything. And so they should be exploring every avenue for economic development. And if a coal mine comes there, that would be economic development. The reality is, I mean, the time of the huge coal investment has passed. We're starting to see supply coming from other sources than coal as well as coal. We've got plenty of coal that can be brought back on stream. And so I would be spending my effort if I were the Queensland government trying to work out how to develop tourism and education services and all of the other things that will be strong in a post-mining boom era.
Townsville and the surrounding towns have been hit hard by the mining downturn. They're essentially, based on everything you've told me, being sold false hope.
Well, I guess that's true. Look, Townsville
is a pretty serious charge, isn't it, to tell people that, you know, you're about to get this economic windfall, that you're about to be delivered all these jobs when, in fact, the economics don't stack up and it's not going to happen?
Well, I'm not sure whether a politician would view it that way. They really have to be on board to try to make it happen. But my job is to say whether I think it will happen, and it just doesn't work at current prices. But if I look at Townsville, I mean, they're a hugely diversified region in Australia. They've got education services, research, they've got defence. They also are a service area for mining. And that's where the real boost has come in the past. But as mining investments fell, it's also where their need now to absorb the shock of falling mining investment and, of course, the loss of some of the secondary processing of minerals. And they need to rebuild the other legs that they have to stand on. Some mining areas are a lot worse off than Townsville is. Mm. At least Townsville's got the other things that it can do, and it should be getting on with doing those things. Now, if a mine came along, you wouldn't turn it away, particularly if it had a big infrastructure component which would be there whether or not the mine was. I mean, that would keep people employed for some time, but the reality is, you know, it doesn't make sense to develop the Galilee Basin, well, not in the next 10 years at least, and probably a lot longer than that.
Dr. Gelber, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Frank Gelber, chief economist with BIS Shrapnel, joining us to talk about his assessment that the mine, the Adani Carmichael mine, is actually not economically viable, despite what you hear today in the news that its headquarters will be in Townsville, that the Queensland Premier has effectively done a verbal deal with Mr. Adani. A lot of doubt still among many economists that this will ever happen, at least in the next 10 years particularly. In about 10 minutes on RN Drive, we're going to be talking about bugs. Do you reckon there's more bugs than usual at the moment, particularly flies? I've already got a text saying that it's a Sydney-centric proposition I am framing. In fact, I'm not even in Sydney, so you're wrong. I'm not in Sydney and I've seen more flies. But that's just my anecdotal kind of experience. I'm not saying everyone's seen more flies, of course. Different flies for different people.
From the founder of Apple to comedian Andy Samberg, from the head of Netflix to the man who built the World Wide Web, from the creators of the record-breaking podcast Serial to startups that are breaking ground right here in Australia. If you want to hear from the movers and the shakers, media, technology and culture around Australia and the globe, there is literally one show. It also happens to be the most literally named show. Download this show with me, Mark Fennell. Media, technology, culture. Find it on the RN website now or on the ABC Radio app.